She didn't go home. Instead, she disappeared into the grotto by the graveyard in the town of Granard in County Longford. There, all alone, she gave birth to a baby boy. Several hours later, they were both dead.
The evening began with the poignant and heartfelt rendition of a song by Christy Moore, with its theme of loneliness and abandonment.
She went to a grotto, just a field, in the middle of the island, to deliver herself. Her baby died, she died a week ago, last Tuesday. It was a sad, slow, painful death for them both. Everybody knew.
Although dead for over 30 years, Dr. Sinead Kennedy of NUI Maynooth reminded her audience that what happened to Anne Lovett and her baby son in Granard resonated to the present day.
We are gathered here to remember Anne Lovett, to remember an Ireland that we like to think belongs firmly in the past, but that we all know continues to echo into the present.
I'm still very angry. I have vivid recollections of finding out about it in 1984. And I was living in Denmark. It's a very civilised society when you can talk about anything in front of anybody at any dinner table. And all of my friends were appalled and sort of, you know, well, full of disbelief, really. You know, sort of, what is this? How can this possibly happen? And what makes me angry now, you know, I'm a mother. I have a daughter. If I had any idea that my daughter was pregnant, that she was suffering in that way, would I let her go and give birth on her own? Would I never speak about it? I'm full of rage. There was a crime. Why has that never been investigated? That's why we remember, because it's a crime and it was never uncovered. And that woman, in not protecting her daughter, we're talking about women sticking together. Mothers, stick up for your daughters is the first thing. Why has she never spoken? Why has it never been revealed? Whoever fathered that child has been protected, and Anne Lovett was not. It's criminal. I think it's criminal, and I feel as angry now as I did in 1984 when I heard about it and raged then.
Shame and secrecy were key themes of the evening, as was the backwash from the pro-life referenda of the 1980s and the 1990s. One of the guest speakers was Anne Mulhall of UCD School of English. She spoke about the difficulties of getting at the truth in Ireland and reminded those present that what had happened to Anne Lovett was a state issue because she had been raped as a 14-year-old.
The way that things are still secret, that's actually a state issue.
Absolutely.
And then that still happens.
Absolutely.
The things are covered up. Look at what happened around Civita. How difficult was it to get to the truth of what actually happened to Civita? Extremely difficult. And this is something that just keeps being repeated over and over again. So the only thing that actually changes that, the only thing that makes policymakers and politicians and other, if you like, you know, sort of, you know, people in positions of real power in this is mass public outrage. That is the only thing that will actually change. It's the only thing that will change those structures. They won't just change on their own. It takes us actually to force that change. How do you actually change that when that's something that really is interwoven into the structures of our society and our state? The problem there isn't really the mother or the family when we're thinking about... No, what's really striking is how important this is to so many people. You know, that it's such a personal thing because it speaks to people about what they know very intimately from their own background, from their own family, from their own experience, from things that have happened to themselves or to their friends or to relatives. I think what Sinead said at the end, about the fact that the key difference between then and now is that this gathering wouldn't have happened then, but this is something that happens now, and I think it's important to keep sort of coming together in these sorts of ways, to sort of break through those silences, both personal and political.
In commemorating the tragic death of Anne Lovett and her baby son, it was also an evening that provided many with the opportunity to recall their own personal stories.
I would be a single mother now myself, so certainly a lot of what was said would be echoed. Like, my dad at the time certainly was not happy whatsoever, and I certainly would think if it had been a couple of decades earlier, I could have easily been in the Magdalen laundries.
I remember I was about the same age as Anne and the same age as Anne Lovett. And when we were about 12, we all got these little badges with little feet on them. They were silver feet, and they were pure silver. And they were supposed to signify the size of the fetus when at so many weeks. And we were all to wear them. And they were so cute. And I remember just being kind of really fascinated by these tiny feet and my imagination of what a little tiny baby would be like. And it was a way of really kind of playing on your soft spots, you know. And then Anne Lovett died, and in my own family, my parents were already conservative Catholics, but they became super fearful about myself and my sister. I mean, it was ridiculous. We couldn't be seen alone with one of the boys. And I went to an all-girls school, and it was, I mean, things got really serious. I mean, there were terrible fights in our family about the sorts of things that you would think were, you were at a moment where you needed education and you needed to be, you needed to get some confidence, and you needed people to explain things to you. And instead there was this silence, repression, hiding, stopping, forcing it down. You were taught to not trust yourself. You were taught that what you were experiencing was bad, and it was dreadful.
We have no image of Anne Lovett. All we have is her death notice. The Examiner newspaper in a recent headline said that the silence around her death is one that will never be broken. To the present day, neither family nor the people of Granard in County Longford have spoken about what happened 30 years ago. However, as the meeting was about to conclude, a remarkable thing happened which electrified the audience. Two people who went to school with Anne Lovett spoke about her, describing her as a wonderful artist and a vivacious, happy-go-lucky teenager. For many, this was the highlight of the evening.
The meeting was phenomenal. Even the tone that was set by Christy Moore, the discussion that we had, and the guys that actually knew who Anne Lovett was, I think that was vital. And for the first time, we actually get to see who she was in her life, not just in her death. And for me, as a young activist, as a young student, it's vital for me to remember what happened in the past so I can move things on in the future. So I think ultimately the memorial that we had was fitting for her. And I hope her legacy, actually, of as someone said in the meeting, of systemic change, of actual change, continues on into the future, especially for young women in today's society.
The remembrance to Anne Lovett concluded with the reading by Mary O'Byrne of Paula Meehan's poem, The Statue of the Virgin Mary at Granard Speaks.
It can be bitter here at times like this. November wind sweeping across the border. Its seeds of ice would cut you to the quick. The whole town tucked up safe and dreaming, even wild things gone to earth. And I, stuck up here in this grotto, without as much as star or planet to ease my vigil. The howling won't let up. Trees cavort in agony as if they would be free and take off. Ghost voyagers on the wind that carries intimations of garrison towns, walled cities, ghetto lanes where men hunt each other, and invoked the various names of God as blessing on their death tactics, their night manoeuvres. Closer to home, the wind sails over dying lakes. I hear fish drowning. I taste the stagnant water mingled with turf smoke from outlying farms. They call me Mary, blessed Holy Virgin. They fit me to a myth of a man crucified, the scourging and the falling, and the falling again, the thorny crown, the hammer blow of iron into wrist and ankle, the sacred bleeding heart. They name me mother of all this grief, though mated to no mortal man. They kneel before me, and their prayers fly up like sparks from a bonfire that blaze a moment, then wink out. It can be lovely here at times. Springtime, early summer. Girls in communion frocks, pale rivals to the riot in the hedgerows of cow parsley and haw blossom. The perfume from every rushy acre that's left for hay, when the light swings longer with the sun's push north. Or the grace of a midsummer wedding, when the earth herself cries out for coupling, and I would break loose of my stony robes, pure blue, pure white, as if they had robbed a child's sky for their colour. My being cries out to be incarnate, incarnate, immaculate, and tousled in a honey bed. Even an autumn burial can work its own pageantry. The hedges, heavy with the burden of fruiting crab, slow, berry, hip. Clouds scud east, pear-scented. Wind falls secret in long orchard grasses. And some old soul is lowered to his kin. Death is just another harvest, scripted to the season's play. But on this All Souls' Night, there is no respite from the keening of the wind. I would not be amazed if every corpse came risen from the graveyard to join in exultation with the gale, a cacophony of bone imploring sky for judgment and release from being the conscience of the town. On a night like this, I remembered the child who came with 15 summers to her name, and she lay down alone at my feet, without midwife or doctor or friend to hold her hand, and she pushed her secret out into the night. Far from the town, tucked up in little scandals, bargains struck, words broken, prayers, promises, and though she cried out to me in extremis, I did not move. I didn't lift a finger to help her. I didn't intercede with heaven, or whisper the charmed word in God's ear. On a night like this, I numbered the days to the solstice and the turn back to the light. O sun, centre of our foolish dance, burning heart of stone, molten mother of us all, hear me and have pity.